Thank you, Rosie. Open your Bibles here this morning. We're in the book of Proverbs here, chapter 26. The title of my message here this morning, The Portrait of a Fool. The Portrait of a Fool. And as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and thank you for this topic we'll look at here this morning. Pray you guide our thoughts here, Lord, and Father, give us understanding. And Father, Proverbs has much to say about a fool and the wise, and I pray that, Lord, as God's people, that you would give us a very discerning heart here this morning. Father, bless us as your people, and guide us in paths of righteousness for thy great name's sake. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Some years ago, I was talking to a young man, and he was telling me he got a new motorcycle, and he was telling me it was one of these powerful motorcycles, huge motors, and he was telling me right down here in 283 that he took his new bike out for a spin. He got it up to like 160 miles an hour, going on 170, going down 283. I was like, whoa. And I looked at this young man, his name was John. I said, John, if you would have died, would you have gone to heaven? That was the last thing he wanted to hear, because what he wanted to hear was like, wow, you are brave, or wow, what a motorcycle that is, or wow, that was fast, or whoa, you really did that fast? You went 160 some miles an hour down 280? That's what he wanted to hear. But what did I see that he didn't see? Is going 160 some miles an hour down 283 wise or foolish? That's very foolish. When you're young, you think you're invincible. Is that right? When you're young, you think you're invincible. Yeah. And when he was telling me this, I was thinking, whoa, here. I mean, I looked at it a little different way because I realized he could have ended his life just that quick. I heard a story that related to that. There was another guy speeding on his motorcycle, and he came over a hill, and there was a flatbed, had a car on top, chained down, going down the road. He was going so fast, he hit the back of that vehicle, broke the chains, drove the vehicle into the back of the truck. That's how fast this motorcycle got hit. How fast he's going, they don't know, but he hit so hard he broke the chains on that vehicle. Now, there's foolish things in life. We all play the fool sometimes. But here in Proverbs, there's talking about a certain person that's not just played the fool, but is a fool, because there's a difference. We all play the fool sometimes. We've done foolish things. I can remember one time I was rebuilding a car, and I just put the motor in, and I wanted to see if it would crank over, just put the starter in. I pulled the plugs out so there's no compression. I had the plugs laying on top. And I went and cranked it over, and it was going, woo, you know, great, that's working. The only thing I didn't have hooked up was the fuel line to the carburetor and the mechanical fuel pumps. When you crank a motor, guess what a fuel pump does? It starts pumping fuel. And all of a sudden, when I was spinning over, fuel shot up, hit the hood, sprayed like this, came down on the spark plugs that were laying there, and all of a sudden, instant, and I'm looking through the windshield inside the car. You know how you see the hood, the little thing? And I see just fire going like this. I was like, oh, my. And I go around there. And I'm telling you what happened. I had this fire burning. I didn't know what to do. And I just went and blew it out. I really did. Because it wasn't that much fuel. It just blew it out, okay? But my heart was racing. And I thought, how stupid that was. Because hook up the fuel line before you start cranking that puppy over. That's how fast, and that is playing a fool, so to speak. It was an accident, those things happen. But what you don't want to do is Scripture talks about a portrait of what a fool is. Now, keep your finger in Proverbs, turn to Psalm 53. Psalm 14:1, same idea. Psalm 53 is what we're going to look at here. Psalm 53, verse 1. Now, this is what God, how God paints a picture, a portrait of a fool. Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool. Okay, now, God is very clear there are foolish people in this world. Foolish people. God's word has, over and over again, you find the word fool come up. The fool has said where? In his heart. Okay, this is how a fool thinks. A fool has a certain way of processing ideas. A fool has a certain way. He says things about reality, says things about life, the things he's observed and the way he processes thought. He said in his heart, the fool has said in his heart, there is, what's those next words? No God. Okay, now, I want you to look carefully in your Bible. Is there and is italicized in your Bible? Okay, it is. That was supplied by the translators to make it more smooth in your reading. But if you would take out those two words, the fool had said in his heart, don't say there is, the fool had said in his heart, no God. Okay, does that hit you a little different? The fool had said in his heart, no God. Now, if you remove God out of your thinking and you remove God from the center of all things, because he created heaven and earth and sea. Now, does this make sense? Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Does that make sense? Okay, now, if there's a creation, does that imply there needs to be a creator? The Bible says, in the beginning, what? God. Okay, the Bible just assumes that God's always been here. Because God is eternally past, eternally present, eternally future. There is no, God is a circle. He has no beginning and no end. Our life is a straight line. We were born, we're going to die and go out into eternity. But we live a straight line. God's eternal, has no beginning and no end. But a person that in their thinking, they say, no God. No God. God just says, if you say to me there's no God, you've just declared yourself to be, what does verse 1 say of Psalm 53? You've just declared yourself to be the what? The fool. The fool. Now, a portrait of a fool. Now, we're all foolish at some times. We all do things that we look back on and say, why did I ever do that? Okay, that's being foolish. Okay, that's part of humanity. But to be foolish is totally different. Totally different. Because once you declare there's no God, now, once you declare there's no God, who are you making God? Yeah. Is it fun to play God? Is it fun to play God? No. Some people think it is. That's why they declare there's no God, because they want to be God. But guess what? I got news for you. You're not God. Okay? Because you're not God. And you'll never push him off his throne, because he's eternal. And God gives you a little rope to run with, but one day he's going to jerk that rope back. And he's God, and you're not. But a foolish person says, no God. And once they go down that road to declaring there's no God, then everything in life starts to unravel. Because in our culture and our society, there's more people, their voices are more louder than ever saying there's no God. Evolution says there's no what? No God. That's what evolution says, no God. Everything's by random chance. Now, they talk about the Big Bang Theory, okay? That's what created the universe. Well, where did that matter and energy come from for the Big Bang? Do you see what I'm saying? It doesn't make any sense because matter and energy in our universe cannot be created nor destroyed. It's a constant in our universe. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Now, how does God feel about the fool? What does he say in verse 1 of Psalm 53? Corrupt are they. They have done abominable iniquities. There is none that doeth good. Corrupt, abominable, none that doeth good. Once you take God out of the picture, you're totally corrupt, totally abominable, and there's none that doeth good. The fool has said in his heart, no God. Well, turn over here to Proverbs 26. Now, there's many places in Proverbs it talks about the fool. Many, many verses. All through Proverbs. Now, as we travel through Proverbs here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. Okay, so the wise person says, there is a God. There is a God. That's wisdom. And once you realize there's a God, now, if you need knowledge, Vance Havner says, go to school. If you need wisdom, get on your knees, because God Almighty can give you wisdom in your life. He's the one that gives wisdom to know how to put life together, skill in living. That's wisdom. The fool says, no God. The fool has no fear of God. The fool does not consider God in his thinking. The fool makes himself a God. Verse 26, chapter 26, verse 1, as snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemingly for a fool, fitting for a fool. Now, as snow in summer and rain in harvest. If you live by the crops you raise, if your sustenance is made by the things you plant and live, and that's how most people around the world live. When this was written, if you lost your crops, you lost your whole year's wages. Would that be a huge problem? If you lost your crops, would that be a huge problem? Because that means there's no food for next year and there's no wages coming in. Now, that is a huge problem. Now, snow in summer, that's a problem. Because what does that do for corn if it's all laying under snow? Your corn crop's gone. It's too cold. Your plants aren't going to grow. That's a problem. As rain in harvest. Now, there's an old saying, make hay while the sun is what? Shining. Now, Mary Keller can pray and keep rain off the fields. Is that right? Didn't you pray one time about that? Yes. Yeah, right. They were trying to get their hay in, and it was raining all around. Mary prayed, Lord, don't let it rain on the field. We need to get this in. And it didn't rain right there. Because rain in harvest is a problem. So is honor to a fool. Now, snow in summer, rain in harvest, those things shouldn't happen. It's going to ruin your crops. What happens to a nation if fools are put in a place of authority? People that don't believe God. What happens to our nation? It goes downhill. Have we done that as a nation? We have given honor to people who should not have gotten honor. We have given honor to people who the Bible calls fools because they've rejected the knowledge of God. And that has ruined our nation. Just like the crops are ruined, it's ruining our nation. As snow in summer and rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Now, if that be so, wise people need to be careful. Don't give honor to somebody that says there's no God. Because when you give honor to that person and you give power to that person by the position of their authority and you give those people the rule over you, watch out. Because their corruptness is going to, what did Psalm 53:1 say? Corrupt are what? They. They have done abominable iniquity. And that's where it takes you. When you give honor to a fool, somebody says, no God, watch out. Verse 2, as a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying. Okay, you've got this contrast here. So, in comparison. So the curse without cause shall not come. Now, in countries around the world that are satanically inspired, you go to Haiti and they have these voodoo dolls. You go to some of these, like Tim and Leandra, and these villages, somebody dies, they think somebody in the next village put a curse on this person, and that starts a whole tribal war because they think you were cursed them. Now, foolish people who say there's no God, guess where they end up? They end up in seeking, trying to replace God with things outside of the realm of God. When Saul rejected the knowledge of God in his life, and God would not speak to him anymore because his whole life was given to rejecting God. And Saul wanted to find out how the battle was going. He went to the witch of what? Endor. That's where people go when they have no God in their life. They go to the occult. They go to seances. They go wherever they want to, away from God. But as a believer, so the curse without cause shall not come or not alight upon you. What is that saying? You can have foolish people that are corrupt, and they tried to take their occult activities over the believer. Guess what? If you have been saved, sanctified, sealed by the Holy Spirit, Satan cannot put a curse on you. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is what? In the world. And you're protected. Now, is the occult real? Is the power of Satan real? It is real. It is real. I just read an article the other day in Britain. The occult is expanding. People, because of COVID, all their loved ones have died, and they're going to all these seances trying to figure out, you know, what happened to my loved ones? Where are they at? England has rejected the knowledge of God. It used to be a missionary sending nation. They used to send out 3,000 missionaries. Now it's a missionary receiving country. We're sending missionaries to England now. When you reject the knowledge of God and you say there's no God, that's where you end up. For the believer, the curse shall not light upon you. You're protected by God. God's Holy Spirit, Satan cannot curse you like other people that have no God. Now, for the fool, they may get into verse 2 and get into the occult, but we as God's people are protected. It shall not come upon you. Verse 3, these are Proverbs here, all right? You have a whip for a horse, a bridle for the donkey. Now, what does a whip and a bridle do for animals? Controls them, motivates them, okay? It controls them, it motivates them. And a rod for whose back? Okay, what's the rod for? To beat some sense into some people, okay? That's what it's for. That's what a rod is for. And people that are foolish, that's the only thing they understand sometimes. Because when you're foolish, you can try to reason with them. Now look, don't do this because of this, this, and this, and this. And guess what? They don't care. They don't care. All they're into is just the moment of pleasure, or all they're into it is for their own selfish motivations. They don't care who it hurts. They don't care what the outcome is. A rod for a fool's back. Now, if you have self-control, that's the best thing. If you don't have self-control, you have other control. People on the outside start to control you. That's what our law enforcement is for. That's what our police and military is for, to protect us from those who don't live according to the laws of our land and respect our nation. A rod for the fool's back. Now, look at verse 4 and 5. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit or his own eyes. Now, verse 4 and 5, make an observation. When you deal with foolish people, it gets mighty messy. Mighty messy. Do you know what I'm saying? Because you as a wise person have to be ever so careful how you deal with foolish people. There's foolish people that say some of the dumbest things. Answer not a fool according to his folly. Okay, when I went to Bible college, some of the students were discussing this topic. Can God make a rock so big that he cannot lift it? Can God make a rock so big he cannot lift it? But how big can he make it? You know what you do? Don't answer it! Because you know why? If you go down that road, you're being foolish. because that's not something we need to pursue and try to figure out. Don't answer a fool according to his what? Folly. Somebody asks you a question like that, just say, I got better things to do. Because you'll never know the answer. And the answer, the question is framed in such a way, the question's bad. God will never do anything against his own nature and character. Anyway, answer not a fool according to his what? Folly. Lest you be what? Like unto him. Don't be so stupid as to go down to his stupid ways. Don't be like him. Don't answer him. Because the minute you do, you're going, he sucked you into his arguments. Let it go. Don't even pursue it. Don't answer a fool. Let him sit over in his corner and try to figure that out himself. But you got better things to do. Don't be like a fool. Get into his arguments. Get into his line of thinking. But wait a minute. Didn't I tell you it's complicated dealing with fools? Answer a fool according to his folly. There's times to speak and there's times not to speak. When do you speak to a fool? When a fool is getting other people to follow his foolishness. And you see this happen, all of a sudden you say, whoa, wait a minute here. This sounds good, but I'll tell you what's wrong with his argument or his line of thinking. And sometimes you have to speak up. Because if you let it go on, he'll walk away with a crowd of people and he's wise in his own eyes, his own conceit, thinking, yeah, I'm so right. That's when you have to answer a fool. It's mighty sticky dealing with fools. Mighty sticky. It's very messy and complicated. But one thing you need to do, answer a fool according to his folly. Don't let him lead others astray. And he'd be so puffed up in his own eyes that he thinks he's got a following. I told you it gets messy. Look at verse 6. It gets even more messy. He that sendeth a message, all right, you got a responsibility. You got something that's important that needs to get done. This message, because in those days they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have texting. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't have walkie-talkies. They didn't have printing presses. How'd they communicate? Hey, I want you to take this message and tell so-and-so. It's important. He just sent the message by the hand of a fool. Now, somebody that's foolish, they're running along with your message, and what if they get it all confused? Now, you ever played the game Whisper Down the Lane? Somebody says one thing, and you get like 20 people, and you get down to the end, and the last thing somebody says is totally different than the first thing somebody says. You know what I'm talking about? Well, in a foolish person, he can have 20 people in his mind, and he's all confused, and he's trying to, and you got this important message. He gets to tell somebody, and he gets it all mixed up. You better be careful who you select for responsibilities. If you send a message, you give a responsibility to somebody and they're a fool. So what does that make a wise person have to do? You have to be very what to people? Discerning. Is this a wise man? Can I trust him? Will he do what I say? Now, if you were to cut off your feet or drink violence, that'd be a problem. And it's a problem you have a fool doing something important they have no heart for or no understanding. You want to hear it? It gets even worse here. The legs of the lame are not equal. Okay, somebody that can't walk, can't get around. So is a parable in the mouth of who? A fool. Now, careful. Have people ever twisted scripture? Do you know what I'm saying? I've heard some people, they speak so authoritatively. Now, I heard a man one time, he preaches, he's well known. This man, and I won't say his name because that's not important, but he's had over $700 million that he has earned on television preaching. Okay, that's how much he's worth, $700 and some million. Now, if I was to say the word I am, what do you think from scripture? Who's that referring to? God, Christ. He preached one time, you are the I am. Is that true or false? That is false. That is almost blasphemy. Just because somebody takes scripture, you better make sure they speak with wisdom and they speak truthfully. Because there are a lot of deceivers out there, and they'll say all kinds of things that sound good. Satan doesn't care how much truth they give as long as they put a little arsenic in there. Do you know what I'm saying? A little poison. The legs of the lame are not equal. So is a parable in the mouth of fools. Some people twist scripture. They can take something that's so obvious and plain and make it say something God never wanted it to say. A foolish person. Look at verse 8. Continue. What's a portrait of who's a foolish person? As he that bindeth a stone in a sling. Now, in those days, now, when we think of a slingshot, we think of this kind here with rubber band. Bing. Did they have rubber in those days? No, they didn't have rubber. How was their slingshot? Their slings was leather straps with a leather pocket, and they would sling it like this motion, like this. And they would tie one of the strings around, but the other one they'd hold, and they would let go of the other, and the rock would fly out like that. That was their sling. When David ran at Goliath, he was doing this motion with his sling and let it go. That's how they did it. You've seen these cartoons, you know, Sunday school little David, you know, with a little slingshot shooting Goliath. No, that's not the kind of sling he had. It was a long, you know, leather strong. Now, what if you were to bind that rock in that pouch with string and then go to let it go? Would that be wise or foolish? Very foolish. It totally destroys what you were trying to do. Now, let's just say, okay, we're talking about David and Goliath. Let's just say David had taken that rock and wrapped a string around it and fastened it into the pouch. And then he went to try to kill Goliath. How would that have gone over? Not real good for who? David. It wouldn't have been very good for him. What does it say here? How foolish are some people? As he that bindeth a stone in a sling. That's a foolish person. You look at a foolish person, why are you doing this? See, a foolish person doesn't think things through. The purpose of a sling is to let that rock go. If you fasten that rock into the sling, you've defeated the purpose. A foolish person never connects the dots. They do this, but they don't realize this is the consequence moving forward. A wise person looks at a situation. He looks at all the dots, where it's going to take me. If I do this, what's going to happen? He that bindeth a stone in a sling, so he that giveth honor to a fool. Same thing thought in verse 1. Snow in summer, rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so he that giveth honor to a fool. The he is you and me. And we've got to be careful we don't honor fools. Because if you do, you're going to cause problems for yourself and for others. Now, verse 9. As a thorn goeth up into the hand of a drunkard, as a drunkard has thorns in his hands. Now, okay, here's a drunkard. Now, we've got these like on a rose bush, the thorns are what, about so big? You know what I'm saying? Not very big. But thorns in the land of Palestine were like 2 inches long in their bushes. They were big guys. The crown of thorns they made for Christ, those weren't little bitty thorns. They were big thorns, 2 inches or more. If you see a drunkard coming down with a vine of thorns in his hands, swinging them around, do you want to be standing next to him? Do you know what I'm saying? Because when he's drunk, you have no predictability about what he's going to what? Do. You don't know. Is he going to sling it this way? Is he going to sling it that? He's got the thorns in his hands. What is he going to do with them? As thorns goeth up in the hands of a drunkard, a drunkard's got these thorns, so is a parable, a proverb in the mouth of fools. A foolish person, you don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. Now, who you give audience to is huge. Now, let's just say a person says this good, this good, this good, but then all of a sudden he says something that's way off the track. I mean, totally, totally unbiblical. You have to be careful you don't listen to somebody who's speaking foolishness. If you want to know the truth of God's word, make sure you know this Bible yourself. Because a lot of people can say a lot of things that aren't in the scriptures and make it sound so good. And you better make sure that you not listen to somebody that takes a parable or a proverb or a teaching from scripture and make it sound so good. What if I made the statement, you can lose your salvation? Is that true or false? False. It's false. The Holy Spirit has been given unto us. When you get saved, you get what? The Spirit of God. You can't lose your salvation. I'm not saved by my works. I'm saved by grace. If I didn't get saved by my works, I can't lose my salvation by my works. Now, once I get saved, I can live as I want to, true or false? That's false, because God is my heavenly Father, and He chastens every son whom He what? Receives. If somebody stands to you and says, you can lose your salvation, a parable in the mouth of fools. There are people who say such foolish things. They have never studied the fullness of Scripture and have an understanding. Now, to be wise and to be righteous takes effort. Verse 10, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressor. God will reward the fool and the transgressor, but He also rewards the righteous for what things they have done. And turn the book of Daniel here for a moment. You want to live a righteous life? You want to live a wise life? You want to do what's right in God's sight? You don't want to walk the pathway of foolishness? You don't want to be a fool? Look at Daniel chapter 12, verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting what? Life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. They that be what? Wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. You've got the foolish crowd, you've got the righteous crowd, the wise crowd. God in the book of Proverbs is trying to pour out us wisdom. Don't be like the foolish man that says, no God, there's no God, and live their life that way without the fear of God and the knowledge of God. You want to be those that, verse 3, and they that shall be what? Wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness. There's many foolish people out there that need to be turned to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. God is going to reward, in verse 10, the fool and reward the transgressors, but also reward the righteous in Daniel chapter 12. How can you spot a foolish person? Look at verse 11 here, Proverbs chapter 26. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. How do you know if somebody's foolish? They do something wrong and you correct them and say, hey, that didn't work. And they do the same thing again. I remember years ago, I was at a job site, a right angle drill, drilling a floor joist. This guy, he just new on the job, he stuck his head up there in the joist and had this drill going, and the thing bit into the joist, and they come back and caught him right on the chin. Pow! And I'm standing, I saw this all happen. And I looked up at him and said, you going to school of hard knocks? And anyway, he got it. But thing is, what if he does the very same thing again? That'd be very what? Foolish. And when you learn something, you back away from it and you don't do the same thing again. But a foolish person, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. They do the same thing over and over and over and over again. They never learn their lesson. They're very foolish in their attitudes. See a man wise in his own conceit, his own eyes? Now, what makes a man wise in his own eyes? Very proud, knowledge puffs up, very wise, can't tell him anything. See, it's bad enough to be a fool, but when you're proud and you're a fool and you connect them together, you're in bad shape. See thou a man wise in his own conceit, there's more hope of a fool than for him. When you connect pride and conceit and knowledge all together and a foolish heart, that's a bad place to be. What does God do for us? You want to be wise? Turn to Proverbs chapter 1 here in closing. Proverbs chapter 1. You want to be wise? Verse 5, a wise man will what? Hear, has a teachable spirit. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, has a heart that embraces God's word. And a man of understanding will attain unto wise counsel. When you want wisdom, you seek God and you keep asking God. A man that wants wisdom is continually praying to God, God, give me a wise heart and wise understanding, and will listen to wise counsel. Verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is a portrait of a fool. Let's pray here. Dear Heavenly Father, help us as your people here to be wise and be understanding and to seek your face. Thank you for the knowledge of God that we have through your word. But Lord, thank you for the wisdom that you give to your people to put the knowledge into wise and prudent acts of life. And Lord, I pray that we would live skillfully in our lives. Father, help us not to play the fool or be the fool, God, but may we be wise men and women that embrace truth and love you and honor you. And Father, so many in our society that have places of influence and authority that speak foolishly because they don't speak after the knowledge of God or the truth of your word. So Lord, bless us and make us ever wise to know how to handle foolish people, Lord, when to answer and when not to answer. God, give us that discernment, Lord, as your people, that we would keep free of the sins of others and not bring shame to ourselves. But Lord, help us to love the foolish people and to direct their steps after you, God. So Lord, help us be wise and to know the will of the Lord and to accomplish your eternal purposes in Christ Jesus. In his holy name we pray, amen.